How to have fun anytime, anywhere. Step one, go to ChumbaCasino.com.
ChumbaCasino.com. Got it.
Step two, collect your welcome bonus.
Come to Papa, welcome bonus.
Step three, play hundreds of casino-style games for free.
That's a lot of games, all for free.
Step four, unleash your excitement.
Woo-hoo! Chumba Casino has been delivering thrills for over a decade. So claim your free welcome bonus now and live the Chumba life. Visit ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on two purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the United Stands. I'm Mark Goldbridge. This is your latest transfer news. Well, I tell you what, it might be coming home for Manchester United. I'm coming home. I'm in the studio today. Welcome to the show. Lots to get into. Jared Bowen, Somerville, Alex Scott, Elliot Anderson, Tonali, Fernandez, loads to get involved in, lots of updates, get your opinions in. I think it's going to be a bit of a debate show today, actually, because the one thing I wanted you to get in the comments about, whether you're watching live or not, should Marcus Rashford be coming back to Manchester United? Barcelona tweeting about him last night like he's their player. He's our player. You didn't pay for him. Should Rashford be coming back to Man United, or has that ship sailed? Are we overreacting because of one good goal in the World Cup? We'll delve into that. I think it's quite nuanced, Rashford, and I'm probably the most balanced I've ever been about it. I think there's pros and cons, but let me know whether you're watching live or not, what your thoughts on Rashford are, and we'll get into that debate in a moment. But let's start off with some of the latest transfer news. So Fabrizio Romano and Matheus Fernandes, Real Madrid are still interested, United still negotiating. Not a lot to add in relation to that, if I'm being honest. But where I think we do need to start on the show today is that there is a bit of a transfer warning, and there is a bit of an expectation on Man United to actually start making the moves we need to make. There has been some stories this morning linking us to Jared Bowen again, and we're aware of Somerville. Now, whether you want to ignore those stories or acknowledge those stories, they're the sort of business Everton are going to do. We're Manchester United. I'm looking at Liverpool and Diamande. I'm looking at Man City deciding on whether to go for Anderson or Tonali, or both. We're looking at this Arsenal news this morning about Alex Scott. We're looking at Matheus Fernandes, and maybe Real Madrid will move in. And my concern is that, yeah, guess what? We're patient. It's only just the start of the transfer window. But a lot of the targets that we would want to be at Man United could move off the shelf very quickly. It's all right about doing your Christmas shopping, and, you know, it's December the 1st and saying there's 3.5 weeks left till Christmas. But if someone says, you know, everything on your list is sold out, pop down John Lewis, pop online, you know, that air fryer you want is gone. And don't get, I haven't said who I'm buying the air fryer from. I'm not sexist or anything like that. I'm just saying maybe an air fryer is on your list for somebody, right? They're all sold out. Well, it's 3.5 weeks till Christmas. Well, they're all sold out. You're not going to get one. And I think that is a different thing to panicking about. Oh, you know, we're not doing any business. I think it's way too early for that. It is only the middle of June. But what it's not too early for is a lot of the targets that we might want could be off the shelf quite quickly if we're not careful. And there is a story this morning about Alex Scott, and I was tentatively not going to talk about it last night because I was like, I don't want to acknowledge it, but it's come out again this morning. I think it was Alex Scott, who works with Ben Jacobs, TalkSport. Arsenal seriously pursuing a deal for Alex Scott, also considering going for Tonali as well. I think that my concern is, I do think we'll get Matheus Fernandes, and I'd love to know how everybody thinks this is going to land. I've got the World Cup in my hand here. I need to put it down. I'd love to know how people think this is going to land, but if we don't get Matheus Fernandes, or we do get Matheus Fernandes, who's the third midfielder going to be? And if we don't get Matheus Fernandes, who's the second and third midfielder going to be? Because all I see at the moment is Tonali's definitely going to go somewhere that's not Old Trafford. Anderson, we'll talk about in a moment, but it looks like that's going to be Man City. He was fantastic last night, by the way, as well. Alex Scott now looks like it's Liverpool or Arsenal. And all roads lead to fucking Belabor, don't they? So I'm a little bit like, are we being slow on purpose so that we can sign the player we really want, which is Belabor? Or are we being slow because we're unambitious? Or do we have a master plan in our back pocket where Arsenal can have Scott, Liverpool can go and get Wharton, Man City can get Anderson and Tonali because we're going to get Mateus Fernandes and Tchouaméni, in which case, sit back and relax. That's not too bad. Edison, Tchouaméni, Mateus Fernandes, that's not too bad. So look, maybe we don't need to panic, but I do think you need to acknowledge that there are definitely concerns around not the speed in which we're doing business, but and what is going off the shelf potentially from other people. I think that's really important. And look, if you want an opinion piece on the transfers, I'm a Man United fan. Most of you are Man United fans. And I look at what's going on around in this market and it's still, and I will spend a minute on this, it still really annoys me that Tottenham are willing to go and spend £100 million on Tonali. They're not even in the Champions League. Last summer, when we weren't in Europe, what were we told? Oh, we're not in Europe. We can't spend money. And we all sat there and went, to be fair, we're all accountants at Man United now. The Financial Times is coming in an hour. Get me the Kleenex out. I'm getting excited. We've been turned into accountants by our owners that when we're not in Europe, we go, well, we can't afford the big players. We can't afford the big players. Spurs aren't in Europe. They're bidding for Tonali. So we were mugged off 12 months ago for a start. We shouldn't have sat there 12 months and gone, we can't buy big players. You can buy big players. Spurs are in for bloody Tonali for 100 million quid. Man City are thinking about going for Tonali and Anderson. Liverpool are looking to buy Diamande for 100 million pounds. And we're sat there going, we won't overpay. We don't want to pay big wages and we won't pay over 80 million pounds. That's my bugbear this summer. I'm not actually concerned about the pace of the window as long as we get what we need. But what I am concerned about is that we're getting outbid by teams that aren't even in Europe. I mean, are we operating to a budget that's not actually much better than Everton's? Because if Spurs are willing to pay £100 million for players, why aren't we? And if I'm waking up this morning, I'm Sir Jim Radcliffe and I'm going like this. Hello. Actually, you need a proper phone. I picked up the World Cup. I'm going, hello. That's the sort of thing Wilcox would do. Hello. Jason, you're using the World Cup as a phone. Doesn't matter. It's about as effective as me using the phone because no one listens to me anyway. I would say I'd be on my phone if I was Sir Jim Radcliffe this morning. I'd be like, Jason, it's Sir Jim. Get a bid in for Elliot Anderson, Diamande, Tonali by 12 o'clock today. Do it. I know we can't afford all three, but we might get one. Well, let me deal with Joel Glazer. We're doing it, right? Because they're the sort of deals that are going to make Michael Carrick succeed. They're the sort of deals that are going to make you happy. They're the sort of deals that are going to make Man United move to the next level. And it's nothing to do with the World Cup. The World Cup just verifies it. Diamande is going to be a superstar. You can't let him go to Liverpool. The news on Diamande is it's from Ben Jacobs, it's Liverpool and PSG. Diamande is going to make us brilliant. Elliot Anderson is going to make us brilliant. Tonali is going to make us brilliant. These players should be what Man United are bidding for, not bloody Somerville or Jared Bowen. So that's my bugbear about the transfer window at the moment, is I want us to bid for the players that are going to make us good. And I disagree with those fans out there talking about overpaying. If Tottenham are willing to overpay and Liverpool are willing to overpay, Manchester City in the last 18 months, if they get Anderson in excess of 300 million quid in the last 18 months, if they get Tonali as well, 400 million quid in the last 18 months, and they finish second. We want to win leagues and we can't compete with the team that's finished second. And don't talk to me about Man City being title winners. Man City haven't won the league for the last 2 years. And they're spending, you know, upwards of half a billion in the last 2 years. That's how you compete. You don't go and get Jared Bowen or Jimmy Somerville. Not Jimmy Somerville. Don't go and get him. He's too old. That's how you compete. So, look, my issue is that let me know your thoughts. Now, I have to talk about Rashford. I was meant to talk about Rashford at the start. I need to get a poll running here, and I'm not on my normal thing. Oh, this is going to be very easy. Should... Let's not do it in capitals. Should... That's not how you spell should. This will be the best bit of the show. Should Rashford return? And we'll go for a poll there. I'm not going to look at that. Please do share the video if you're watching, by the way, this morning. And make sure you smash a like on the video. I'm not often in the studio, so it deserves at least 3,000 likes from the live people. Get involved. So, look... I didn't actually think I'd be talking about Marcus Rashford this morning and a return to Manchester United, but it's very well timed. Took his goal very well yesterday. If that's a wake-up call to Man United fans for you to make a decision this morning, that's absolutely fine. To those of us that have been monitoring Rashford since he left, he has been doing this on the regular for Villa and Barcelona. That wasn't the return of Rashford scoring for England off the bench last night. He has been doing that sort of thing consistently for Villa and Barcelona for the last 18 months. That's why he's in the England squad. So if you're waking up this morning buzzing about Rashford scoring in England, so am I, that is not the reason I'm saying Rashford return. The reason I'm posing this question is because he's on quite a lot of money. Barcelona didn't pay the transfer fee. He's coming back to Man United after the World Cup. They're all facts at the moment. He's a Man United player. So when he scored last night and I went United, maybe he will leave. But right here, right now, he's a Man United player. He's not a Barcelona player. And he will be coming back unless anything changes. The question is, should he be coming back and will he come back? And look, the case for it is we do need a left winger. He's already on the books. He costs nothing other than his wages, which are very expensive. And, you know, it solves a problem that we have in the team. The case against is a little bit longer. The case against is he struggled at Man United in his last 18 months. The case against is he was unsettled at Manchester United in the last 18 months. The case against is Man United forced him out the door the minute Ineos came in, and we'll talk about that in a moment. And the case against is he wanted a fresh challenge. And the case against is half this fan base don't want him back. And the case against is the media will be on him from the minute he comes back. So what I'm thinking is bring him back. Let's give him another chance. Let's do all the PR. Let's Carrick talk about him. Rashford loves Man United, which I think he does. Bring him back. Let's do it. The Amazon documentary, bring him back. It's a big story. It's like a new signing. To be honest, I wish I'd never said that. I've literally just saved the Glazers 100 million quid. They'll be watching this morning, because I know they do, and they'll go, we never thought of that. Episode one, Rashford comes back. It'll be like bringing Ronaldo back. We don't even need to spend any money. It's like a new signing. But anyway, you bring him back. First four games, United unbeaten. Rashford's got four goals. Oh, this is amazing. Game six, away, Tottenham, lose 2-0. Rashford doesn't track back. What we brought him back for? Waste of time, get him out of our club. And it goes toxic very quickly. They're the concerns. They are the concerns for me. So I'm very balanced about it. Today, I am more open to it than I was yesterday. And in a month, I might be more open to it than I am today. But I can't remove those barriers. They're not for me to remove. And going back to Manchester United, it is well known, and if you remember, it came out last week or the week before, that it wasn't Amorim that decided to get rid of Rashford. Amorim was told we're getting rid of Rashford. Amorim facilitated it, but Man United wanted him out. Now, maybe that was post the Belfast stuff, maybe it was not. Personally, I think it was the wages. I think Ineos came in and said, Sancho, Casemiro, Rashford, ridiculous wages, get rid of them. They tried to get rid of Casemiro two summers in a row. Nobody would take him, and now he's gone. Sancho, nobody would take him, and he's about to run his contract down. And Rashford, they got rid of on loan and covered his wages off.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T&Cs. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.
So never think that it was just Rashford saying he wanted out and a fresh challenge. United wanted him out. Now, that would be a very big thing to rebuild. Mistrust between a player and club coming back together would be problematic, regardless of what we think as fans. So I would say, for me, I'm sort of like swaying towards, I don't see how this could work. I think it's like, I don't see how this could work. But I'm not going to sit here and say, absolutely no way, never. But I just don't see how it could work. And I don't think it's for us to solve that. The club would have to solve it. And I tell you what, if they do bring him back, I would hope that Rashford or the club or together acknowledge why it went wrong and don't sweep it under the carpet and treat us like idiots. I would want them to go, look, it did break down. It did go sour. We've mended those issues and we're working together again. I don't want to get treated by it like an idiot and them to pretend like everything was okay, because clearly something did go off. But to add a little bit to that as well, last night, Barcelona literally posted about Anthony Gordon and Marcus Rashford in the World Cup like they were their players. Now, Anthony Gordon is their player. Marcus Rashford isn't. I think Rashford probably wants to stay in Barcelona. Barcelona sort of dropped the ball a little bit on that. If Rashford does what I think he will do, have a good World Cup, why are Barcelona letting him go? And Rashford probably wants to stay there. So at the end of the day, this might be the thing that defines Rashford's future. What happens with this? Because he scored last night and, you know, for United, this could be the key. The question would be, and some people have said, even if Barcelona come in, even if Bayern Munich come in, we should still keep Marcus Rashford. Well, there is an added point to this as well. He's only got 2 years left on his contract. If we bring him back, we'd have to give him a contract pretty quick. We can't afford to go, let's see how it goes for the next year and let him be 12 months off from his last, you know, his contract. So ultimately, I still think he leaves and it's best for everybody. But that door, that conversation is 100% open. Absolutely. Let me have a quick look at some of your comments that are coming in as well. I'm rubbing the wrong thing here. We've had a super chat here from Daniel. He says, hope all well. Great watch along last night. It's a snooze, you lose situation. If we keep waiting and penny pinching, we'll miss out and our rivals get stronger. Pay the extra for success. Don't save a little by... pay the extra for success. Don't save a little for mediocrity. Thank you, Daniel. Also, we've got Jackie saying, I reckon that celebrity Marcus shows up and has the season of his life because it's going in an Amazon directory. I say he stays. Look, genuinely, didn't expect to be talking about this summer at all. But it is a conversation point. On the poll, 71% say no. If I had to today, I would say no. But with all the nuance of what I've just said, some people would say no because they can't stand Rashford. Some people would say yes because they've got pictures of Rashford on the wall. Neither of those things matter to me. I look at this and I think United are as guilty as Rashford in this conversation. And I don't think it's anything to do with the fans. I think this issue is for them to solve between each other. And also, you know what? If you were asked, do you want Jared Bowen or Rashford? You're going to say Rashford. If you were asked, do you want Somerville or Rashford? might be a bit of a split. If you were asked, do you want Diamande or Rashford? You'd say Diamande. That's the club. The club generates this, not ours. If I'm asked if I want Jared Bowen or Marcus Rashford, Marcus Rashford. If I want Somerville or Rashford, probably need a few minutes to think that one through. If it's Diamande or Rashford, I want Diamande. Well, who controls that conversation? Not me, not you, not Rashford, the club. The club are responsible for this and the ambitions they have. Do they want to bring back a player that's going to be 29 on 300 grand a week with 2 years left on his contract in a summer where they're meant to be backing an inexperienced coach? Or do they want to go and get one of the best up-and-coming wingers in the game? That's not for me or you or Rashford to decide. That's the club. And we're always victim to that propaganda. The reality is Manchester United Football Club should be going out there and buying the likes of Nusa or Diamande. We shouldn't be considering Somerville, Bowen or Rashford back for a couple of years. But because of how we're run, it's a very legitimate conversation. And we can only react to that. That's the way it is. But no, 70% of you are saying no to that at the moment. How do I move this down here? I can't do it. Patrick Lynch says, Rashford has shown when he doesn't have scrutiny on him, he performs. It's why he wants Barcelona. He comes back to United and it will put nothing but headlines and questions, good or bad. Do either United want him or him want that? Yeah, we can't control that either. You know, whatever we think, there will be people in this chat who from day one are like, don't bring him back. There will be the media scrutinising absolutely everything. If he gets subbed after 70 minutes, it'll get scrutinised. If he's on the bench, it'll get scrutinised. We can't control that. And ultimately as well, as I've said to you before, I've got mates, you know, they're married. I'm not going to say Scott's name, but the point is no, it's not that. But I've got friends, Darren. No, I'm joking now. But look, it is like, you know, you pop on Facebook or Instagram, you got a friend request from an old fling. Don't go back. The fire went out for a reason. Don't go back. Is it the same with football? Does it work out when you go back? Even Ronaldo, the biggest player we've ever brought back in I was a little bit young for Mark Hughes and that did sort of work out. But bringing Ronaldo back ended in tears. Some people say bringing Ronaldo back ruined the momentum of what Solskjaer was building. I would say I don't know what he was building in the first place, but I don't think going back tends to work out. I mean, and that's important for the club, for Rashford, for the fans as well. What does bringing him back look like success-wise? And is that achievable? Because people who are poor at business look at the short term and not the long term. What would success be? Look, get in the comments, whether you're watching live or not, make sure you leave a comment about the Rashford return because I think it's going to be very interesting. But do think about outcomes. People do things and think about the short term. Think about the long term. So if we bring him back and it's going to work, what does that look like? So for me, Rashford coming back and it being a success would be, you know, 15 to 20 Premier League goals, 5 to 10 assists, United in the top three for the next 2 years. And then he gets a new contract and he finishes his career at Man United. How likely is that? Failure would be coming back, sporadic form, pile on, doesn't sign a new contract, United drop off. So, you know, you've got to consider what success looks like. And it can't be about financials as well. So, look, it's going to be very interesting to see how it plans out. But I am of the opinion that it is going to be something that will become more and more prominent the longer it goes on. Get your words out. An advantage to all this is that if he wasn't playing and he wasn't doing well, then where would he be with regards to where would we be in relation to, let me just vote on this myself. Oh God, I voted yes. Where would we be if he wasn't playing, in a sense that him scoring last night and doing well might prick up the ears of a Bayern Munich, maybe a Barcelona. I mean, there's some people out there that genuinely do think he'll still end up playing for Barcelona. So, you know, that sort of could open up that conversation again. Look, we'll have to wait and see. It's very interesting. Sorry, I've had a couple of super chats here I just need to check up on. Let me come across. That works very well. Done that from Daniel. Hi, Mark. How much influence do you think George Mendes has over who signs Fernandes? Much love from Seattle. Also, I'd take Hall over a third midfielder. Ooh, that's a tough one. Chad, lots of people saying rest in peace, Chad. No, not Chad. Sorry, why don't I read the chat first? Lots of people sending nice messages to Chad. Hi, Mark. Unfortunately, my older sister suddenly passed away recently and life has come to a complete halt. You, the streams and this community have always been there for me. Love, cheers from Washington, USA. Thank you, Chad. Well, it's great to see so many people in the chat putting in nice messages to something I wasn't actually aware about. So thank you very much for that. And look, horrible news. Life's what's happening, isn't it? You know, that's the great thing about this community and this, you know, what we do on a daily basis. It is a community and we're all here together. So, you know, sorry to hear that and thoughts with you and your family, Chad. And look, whatever's going on, I think that this community does provide a consistency and stability that is there no matter what's going on. So obviously a very difficult time for you, but we're here for you as always. Thank you very much for that. I've just completely messed this up and I don't know why I've done that. Let me try going back and forward. Okay, let me get the chat. No, I think I've got it. It's just I clicked on something. Oh, I've got it now. Yeah. I'd take him on a wage cut and squad role. Thank you very much. Emily Derry says, it's hard to move on from a toxic situation where trust was broken. It's rarely the same as before. Rashford knows this. His wage is expensive enough to question if a return is financially viable. Yeah, well, Barcelona will have covered that off, won't they, for a considerable period of time. Faz says, can you really see this 50-50? Could Rashford sign a new contract on, say, 150k for 3 years? We need a backup striker and a left winger. He can do both. It makes sense to me. Hope you're well. So Faz thinks we could bring Rashford back and he'll take a pay cut of 50, 60%. I don't think that will happen, to be honest with you. I think Marcus Rashford probably backs himself to keep scoring goals at the highest level. So I don't think that will necessarily happen, but you never know. There was a comment there about George Mendes and Matheus Fernandes. Now, look, I think I sort of wanted to avoid the Matheus Fernandes story today because we've got Ben Jacobs on the show at 2 o'clock and I really do want to get a grasp from Ben. I mean, I'm just trying to get my messages up here as to, because Beth's doing the show, B&B, but I want to get a grasp of where we are. Leave your comments in. We'll actually come back a little bit later and have a look at them. I want to know what's genuinely, I've got it up now. I genuinely want to know what's going on with Lewis Hall. You know, is there anything going on with Lewis Hall? Are Man United genuinely moving on a deal for Lewis Hall? I want to know that. I want to know, are we completely not going to go above £80 million? So therefore, we're not going to go for Tonali, Anderson and Diamande. Because as I said, if I'm the CEO, I'm waking up this morning and saying, there's a fucking big difference between Diamande and Somerville. There's a fucking big difference between Matheus Fernandes and Anderson. You know, Matheus Fernandes should be signing for Man United as our second midfielder, but our marquee signing should be Anderson, Tonali or Tchouaméni. So I would be making these offers, but I want to know, are we going to make these offers? Are we genuinely looking at someone like Somerville and why? Why are we so far down the list so quickly? What's going on with the striker situation? Are we looking to move Xerxes on? It seems to be sadly, and I really hoped that we would have figured this out by now, but it seems to be sadly to me that we still can only work on one deal at a time. And that was never going to work this summer. Like, we shouldn't. Why didn't somebody speak to Joshua Zirkzee at the end of the season and say, go and enjoy your holiday, but make sure your agent doesn't? You know, you pop off on holiday and have a great time. Make sure your agent's busy because we don't want you back.
Drew McIntyre here from WWE. Wielding the Claymore can be a life of chaos. When I'm not dominating in the ring, Chumba Casino is how this warrior takes a wee break. With hundreds of online social games and new weekly releases, there's always something fresh to try. And those daily boosts, next level. Even my free time feels like Valhalla. So when life feels like a battle, kick up your feet, have some fun, and let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Do Man United operate like that, or is it just a holiday club? Because I would be like, we're not having that conversation in pre-season. Oh, I tell you what, Joshua, have a good holiday, come back for pre-season, we'll have a great time, we're going around Europe, and if you do well, we'll give you another chance. I'd be like, mate, you've had 2 years, you're not part of my plans, get your agent working. It'd be ideal if you're not back for pre-season. We haven't even had that conversation, have we? Because nothing's happening. It's that inability to work on more than one deal at once. And you know what? Going back to Rashford for a moment, whatever happens there, that's going to take time. We're either going to have to find a buyer or have to sit in a room with him and his agents and find a way back. So that's going to take time, isn't it? We're stacking up the jobs for July and August when we still got to buy two more midfielders, a left back or a left winger, a backup striker, a backup goalkeeper. There's still a lot of work to do. But going back to that question about Mateus Fernandez, I can only see Anderson in red, says Tahil Ineos. And Austin says we need quality signings over quantity, says Austin. Well, I think you can do both. But going back to the Mateus Fernandez question, as I said, I sort of want to avoid it today. I mean, we can ask Ben Jacobs what's the latest, and I think that would be quite insightful. I would hazard a guess the latest is Man United are relaxed. Real Madrid are interested. And at some point, something will change on that. Why are we relaxed? Because we don't want to bid what West Ham want. Why are West Ham not lowering the price? Because they're waiting to see if Real Madrid come in. And I sort of look at that scenario and go, well, should we be relaxed? Because we're beholden to somebody else. It feels to me at the moment like there's a lot of confidence that we'll get Mateus Fernandez, but it's not moving. And why is it not moving? Because West Ham won't lower the price. And why are they not lowering the price? Because they're hoping a bidding war will start. And what will prompt a bidding war is Real Madrid deciding what they want to do with the midfield. So realistically, West Ham and Man United are waiting on Real Madrid. Well, why are we relaxed? So, United have clearly playing the long game, hoping the price comes down. And West Ham have clearly playing the long game going, well, we can bring the price down, but not until we know there's not going to be a bidding war. So that's not necessarily the most comfortable position to be in at all. Hello, Mark. Brady in Malaysia, waiting on something. Thank you, Daniel. Hope you're doing well. Look, it's not that insightful, but that's why I didn't really want to talk about Mateus Fernandez, because I genuinely think Man United's relaxation is hoping that West Ham bring the price down, which is dependent on Real Madrid. I mean, what do we do if Real Madrid say, we don't want Enzo Fernandez at 120 million, let's go and get Mateus Fernandez at 70 million plus add-ons? What do we do then? Do we bid 70 million? Or maybe bid 70 million now, you know? That's sort of, my thought process is, pitch a bid in at a competitive price before Real Madrid decide to come in. If nobody else comes in, we might get him a little bit cheaper and save £5 million. But as I've said to you before, we ain't going to get Mateus Fernandez for less than 60. For an extra 5 or 10, you could get the deal done now. But every transfer we do, every pound counts. And sometimes getting what you want is worth overpaying a bit, you know? FA Cup nights with Rashford and Mason Mount, says Jamie. Oh, God. Well, you know what? And that's not a bad point, is it? You know, you can afford to take a risk on a couple of players. But when you look at next season, Mason Mount's a risk. Luke Shaw's a risk. Delo's a risk. Maguire's a risk. De Ligt's a risk. Some people think Martinez is a risk. Xerxes a risk. You know, how many more players do you take a risk on before half your squad's a risk? And then half your squad's a risk. That's not really the foundations to build upon. So I would like to remove as many risks as possible. I don't mind taking three or four risks, but I don't want to take eight or nine. My concern is outgoings. Why haven't we heard anything about Ugarte or Xerxes, says Harry. Do you think they're still part of the club's plans? I think with Ugarte, it's difficult, isn't it? I don't think there's going to be a very big list for Ugarte to come to Manchester United. And, sorry, I don't think there'll be a lot of interest for people to come for Ugarte. It's clearly going to be a loan deal. And the World Cup is basically putting him in the window. What I'm saying is, I think Man United with Ugarte are hoping the World Cup generates some interest. With Xerxes, there is no World Cup to generate interest. So I think with Ugarte, it was always going to be a little bit longer in a loan deal. But we don't actually... Arsenal will probably sell Martinelli, Trossard and make 50 to 100 million quid. Chelsea will probably sell Enzo Fernandez, Cucurella and make 200 million quid. Who can we actually sell? And that is part of being a successful club, is the ability to make 50 to 150 million pounds each summer in sales. Who are we going to sell? Who is actually sellable for Man United? I mean, that's not Carrick's fault, but that squad doesn't really have sellable assets. We've got players that are valuable, but Cunha's not going to get sold. Mbeumo's not going to get sold. Bruno's not going to get sold, hopefully. Sesko's not going to get sold. Dorgu's not going to get sold. So the players that we have value in, we wouldn't sell. So it is difficult to generate funds. Savage says, we're a big club, we're not a selling club. No, but that's not what I'm saying, Savage. What I'm saying is that if you're a successful football club, every summer, you should be making some money from sales. But those players aren't part of your plans anymore. The problem we've got is that, you know, it would be great to sell Mason Mount, but he's unsellable. The players that we would like to move on don't really have a lot of value, unfortunately. Woohoo, Mark, says Daniel. Mark, okay. Great stuff. Does everyone forget the crap that was coming out of the dressing room when Rashford was there? The reports of disharmony, moaning and groaning players. Get rid of him, says Ian Irvine. What makes you think that Tchouaméni would come to United in the first place, says Darren? Because I know he'd come to Man United. It's not publicly known, but Tchouaméni would come to Man United if Real Madrid don't want him. I know that. You'd have to believe it, but I know that. I know that he would be happy to join Manchester United if Real Madrid decide they want to sell him. That decision has not been made yet. Man United view him as a dream signing. And look, I think all signings come with an element of risk, but what people need to consider with Man United is that we are not a top team at the moment, and we haven't been a top team for quite a while. And I wouldn't say beggars can't be choosers, but every signing you make, you've got to say, do they improve this team? Well, yes, I would say Ederson, in his way, improves the team because it's a better player than what we've got, bar Mainoo, in the midfield. So, you know, it's a good signing. But someone like Tchouaméni brings in experience, Champions League experience, you know, the pressure of playing for a massive club. I mean, look, he knows how to deal with media pressure. He knocked Valverde out, didn't he? So I think Tchouaméni brings a lot of experience, and he walks into the club with something a lot of people don't have. Now, you might analyze his game and say, I don't really like his progression of the ball. I don't really like his attacking instincts. I don't think anybody could argue with his defensive capabilities. But does he improve Man United in an area that we don't have? Like, I agree. If you analyze Tchouaméni's game, if you're losing 1-0 and he's the spare man, is he going to be the guy that can create things? Probably not. But who else do we have in our midfield that can do what he does as well? Nobody. We have nobody that can do that. Who else in the market can do what he does as well that's gettable? No, there's not really a six defensive midfielder out there that can do what we need and that he can do. So I'd see him as a very specialist position that can do a job and allow the Maynus and the Brunos and maybe the Mateus Fernandezes to go and express themselves. So I think it would be a very intelligent signing. I understand the attacking limitations, but maybe we don't need to think about it that much. I think, like, certain skills for certain positions, you know? Tchouaméni is the French national team vice captain. He's literally the best option if we can't get Anderson and Tonali, says Mark. Exactly. I mean, I think it's great that people always have a counter argument to every debate. That's superb. But I also think that he would be such a smart upgrade. He would be what I would consider a marquee signing. There are limitations, of course, but the skill set he has. I mean, I don't know what Michael Carrick's going to do next season. I mean, I want expansive, progressive players, but we were averaging less than 50% possession last season, which means more than half the game we haven't got the ball. You can't express yourself when you haven't got the ball. Maybe a player that can win the ball back and gives defensive stability allows us to go from 50% possession to 55% possession. Maybe the most obvious signing to be more progressive is to bring a player in that is more aggressive. You know, why are we down to 50% possession under Michael Carrick? Maybe bringing in a defensive midfielder would help that. Because I certainly think Bruno Fernandes, Maynu, Cunha, these players can be possession-based players. Sorry, I've had a message here. Look, what I'm saying is, in short, is I'd be very, very happy to bring him into the club. Maynu would be able to go forward with Tchouaméni as well, says Gabriel. I also think that in the absence of Casemiro, and I, you know, this probably doesn't get mentioned enough, Casemiro at Carrington in the dressing room, feedback, magnificent. Aura, players in awe of him because of what he's achieved. Huge influence on younger players and development just by being Casemiro. Next season, Bruno Fernandes, similar sort of thing, but he's not a defensive midfielder, is he? If you're Heaven and you're Yoro, Martinez, Maguire, De Ligt, if you're an attacking midfielder, Bruno Fernandes. If you're a midfielder, who am I looking up to here? Someone like Tchouaméni would bring that in, wouldn't he? So, you know, I think that's a huge thing to consider. And, you know, we want people like Maynu and we want people like potentially Mateus Fernandes to come in, of course, but also they're going to need development. And what better development than somebody that's been there, seen it all for France, for Real Madrid? So, look, I think it would be a smart signing. Financially, you've got to be willing to pay over 200 grand a week. I don't think the transfer fee would be that high. I think the transfer fee would probably be around 60, 70, but the wages would be big. But I definitely think he would be very interested in coming to Manchester United, because what's the alternative? If Real Madrid say, we're looking to cash in, Man United are interested, where else are you going to spin at 26? PSG are not going to go for Tchouaméni. Barcelona are not going to go for Tchouaméni. Bayern Munich are not going to go for him. So it's Premier League. Do Arsenal need him? No. Do Liverpool need him? Maybe, but I'd say we're a better option. Man City won't go for him. Chelsea would be interested, but they're not in the Champions League. Spurs would be interested, but they're not in the Champions League. So I think he'd be very happy to come to us. We should just go all out for Anderson. He's worth the money for now. How he transformed us. I'd be even content to let the youth be back up for a season, says Sam. Mate, as I said, there is definitely, like, if I was Sir Jim Radcliffe this morning, I'd be saying Elliot Anderson. I'd be saying Diamande, Tonali. These are the players that are going to move the needle. I don't think that's going to happen. But 100%, why isn't it happening? Especially when you look at what City are willing to do, what Spurs are willing to do, what Arsenal are willing to do. Apparently, they're going for Alex Scott. Absolutely, I think that we should be bidding for those players. But I suspect my biggest complaint is that we just don't want to pay over £80 million for a player, and we don't want to pay over £200,000 a week for a player. That's unambitious. That's going to be a problem. I don't subscribe to the opinion that it's panic stations. There's plenty of the window left, but I do subscribe to the opinion that, all right, there's 2 months left of the window, but what's left on the shelf if all those players are going to sign for rivals? So, but yeah, like I said, big debate point this morning. Would you bring Rashford back? Get in the comments as well as about everything else as well. Don't forget, 2 p.m, we've got, well, around 2 p.m. A lot of these transfer stuff we're talking about this morning is opinionated, great stuff, but we're going to get official proper updates from Ben Jacobs about all of this. So make sure you're tuning in at 2 o'clock. And then tonight's games in the World Cup, I think, are a 5 o'clock and an 8 o'clock kickoff. So we'll probably try and do something between 7 and 8 tonight again. Okay. Great show this morning. Some really good opinions coming in as always. Nice to be in the studio as well. Take care. Have a great day. And I'll speak to you on the next one.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No